The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
We're back here and Analyze This, and Ellie Hirsch from the Trojan Museum will be joining us later in this first segment. Some programming notes for tonight, Wednesday, April 17th on WTJX Channel 12, the flagship, the reason why we have NPR station, 92.1 FM, and we have online capacity as well, right? Channel 12. PBS News Hour at 7, Nature at 8, explore the extreme ways in which raptors conquer the toughest habitats on Earth, right? That's Nature from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, A Brief History of the Future is to explore stories that shape the boundaries of what is possible. That's A Brief History of the Future from 9 to 10. Thank you, young man. Appreciate it. And then from 10 to 11, Nova, discover how forces of almost unimaginable power gave birth to the continent of North America. They tried to throw up that big word there with all them syllables and me this morning, and you know he's still half asleep, right? But he ain't walk this time. I'll catch you. And I'm important company at 11. Okay, so the news hour at 7, Nature at 8, A Brief History of the Future at 9, Nova at 10, I'm important company at 11. Getting back, we got Dwayne Henry in the house. Good morning.
Good morning sir,
for some in-house bush tea. Getting back to that topic you just mentioned, and I will tell you during the break, one thing about these special counsels and district attorneys and attorney generals and all that stuff, they must relish high-profile cases that they put together, and they're sitting in the courtroom and they're watching their assistants and their deputies execute the plan. They're like a football coach.
Absolutely, yes.
An offense. Yes. You draft like Bill Walsh. Mm-hmm. You draft the first 15, 30 plays in a game that you're going to run. And if it works to perfection, you feel good. If it ain't working, then you got to do an audible and you got to adjust.
Absolutely. And that's the point I was making when I said that the Manhattan District Attorney and the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District are the two best law firms in the country. Mm-hmm. First of all, even though their salaries are really low, you can't get those jobs. Uh-uh. You know, they're highly competitive. They probably get 20% or less hiring rate and this kind of stuff. But when Alvin Bragg was put this together, he didn't just randomly assign this to Prosecutor J, you know, and W.
Yeah.
You know, he picked the best of the best.
Yes, sir.
Of his criminal people and business lawyers to put a team together, basically a dream team. So what you're going to see from, at least from us lawyers' point of view, when we follow this trial, is some of the best lawyers in the country.
It is because Trump historically has been so predictable in what he's going to do. Does that make the job easier for the Alvin Braggs of the world, or is it or when you factor in all of the other fluff, does that undermine that ability to break down something that is predictable?
I think the latter is correct. I think it's actually more difficult, because if this was any other defendant, these cases would have been disposed of a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not this dragging out and you know, camp. But, you know, any other defendant, you know, this case would have went down a long time ago. You know, the discovery process and everything would have been nice and smooth. You would have never heard anything about it. And the trial would have come on. And then maybe if it's high profile, you might have heard about it by the beginning. But all the shenanigans leading up to it would not have been in the public thing. So it's difficult for those leaders of those offices, because they have to manage the PR.
No.
And with Trump, it's a lot of PR.
No.
And Alvin Bragg is not one for the media.
No, yesterday, and Trump is doing this every day, where he's holding these press conferences, right? These impromptu press conferences, walking up to these bank, the bank of cameras and all that stuff. And he made this statement yesterday, right? And I want you to listen to this. And I want you to listen to a response from a lawyer.
Honor, this is a trial that should have never been brought. It's a trial that is being looked upon, looked at all over the world, they're calling. They're looking at it and analyzing it. Every legal pundit, every legal scholar said this trial is a disgrace. We have a Trump-hating judge. We have a judge who should be on this case. He's totally conflicted. But this is a trial that should never happen. It should have been thrown out a long time ago. If you look at Jonathan Turley, Andy McCarthy, all great legal scholars, there's not one that we've been able to find that said this should be a trial. I was paying a lawyer and marked it down as a legal expense, some accountant, I didn't know, marked it down as a legal expense. That's exactly what it was.
No, he made this statement, and then this lawyer said, keep confessing, thank you.
Yes.
That's Bradley Moss. He'll be on, he'll be on CNN and NBC. Let me ask this question. The reason why I played that, when he said, keep confessing, thank you. In other words, he's his own biggest enemy because he's running him out. Now he's claiming that this was a legal expense.
Which is nonsense because... when I bill my client, say I've done a deed for you, right? What I pay to cadastral or what I pay to the government for recording is clearly delineated as cadastral expense. Legal fees are separate to the expenses. That's why a representation agreement will say, I agree to represent you. My fees are $300 an hour. Plus expenses.
Ooh.
So this was not legal fees that he paid to him.
So that's what Brad Moss was talking about.
Yes, there's a big difference.
So he trying to put in the public's minds that whatever he paid, he reimbursed Michael Cohen, right, for this $130,000 that Cohen apparently paid to Stormy Daniels on his behalf.
Right, and that is an expense. But it's not a legal expense.
It's not a legal expense.
Right.
Wow.
The legal expense of fees. Mm-hmm.
Alvin Bragg has gone about, and he keep telling the public, this is not a hush money case. This is a financial...
Right, a business fraud.
A business fraud, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Explain that part, because the public know it as... Trump paying to keep an affair quiet right before an election.
Right. Well, this is the thing. And my nephew who went to the IRS could way better explain this. But when you report that, you have to report it properly. That's why I was delineating between legal fees. And if it's legal fees and not a reimbursement for an expense, which it really was. It was an expense of paying off, what's her name?
Yeah, Stormy.
Right.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be reported as legal fees to Michael Cohen because Michael Cohen didn't earn that money.
Yeah.
That's as if Michael Cohen had paid to record the fee.
Yeah.
And that's not his money. That's the government's money.
And then for somebody who's been working for you for 12 years, how can you make the retainer argument that long?
That's the other nonsense. Is that, we do retainers, and retainers are replenished periodically. But like I said, the whole idea is whether it was legal fees earned, which we know it was not, or it was something that Michael Cohen paid out to somebody on behalf of him, which is exactly what he did. And apparently Trump reported this as legal fees.
That's what he said.
Yes, and it's not a legal fee.
It's not a legal fee.
No.
So that's the fraud then.
That's the fraud. Because the implication is that when you report it, an expense is deductible. Like I said, I'm not a tax accountant, but I did take tax law in a thing. Mm-hmm. But that those are deductibles. You can offset income against that. If it's my legal fees, then I'm responsible for paying personal income taxes on that.
That's right.
So you know Michael Cohen did not pay personal income taxes on that. He would be crazy.
Yes, sir.
Because the money didn't come to him.
Yes, sir.
And that's how the whole thing got out.
Well, let me ask this question. And we heard the tape. Why wouldn't you make this payment in cash?
That's why they call bag man and all. You find a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you say, look, but Trump is so callous, and he wanted the the write off.
Not only that, wanted the write off. Well, you're right. He didn't want the write off.
Yeah.
He really didn't want to pay.
Yes.
That's why boy long
time. That's
it. My partner must tell you, look, no, I don't pay this money already.
That's exactly right?
And
what
I
happened.
Want my money. Yes. So the question is, why not find a way to get, in this case, it would be $350 bills,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're paying $35,000 installments.
Well, you got to send the man to the bank every day.
I mean, send one of your boys and say, let's not go get that cash.
Yeah, every day.
And every 60 days, get this man a thing and it done.
It happens in New York especially all the time. I'm pretty sure Trump have done that thousands
because,
of times.
Because he really liked to short people and all.
That's exactly what he didn't want to pay the guy.
Yes, his history. Right, he believed, I do so much for you, why I got to pay this? But you should have paid that for me.
Right, and let me tell you another thing. It's very rare that, and I don't know any attorneys around here that can afford it. Mm. Well, maybe they can afford to do it. But I don't think anybody is going to front a $350,000 bill for a client. You're going to ask that client to deposit that money into your trust account, and then you'll write the check.
So final question. Oh. How can he now turn on Michael Cohen, calling him liar and all that stuff, uh-huh. right? When you had him working for you for 12 years.
Well, there goes, that's a question of credibility, which is going to come up in the courtroom.
Yeah.
They're going to say, look, you're saying he was lying for you all those years? So now we're going to question every legal work that he's done to you for you because he's a liar.
So does that mean that's the real reason why Trump didn't want this to go to trial? Not because that he's innocent,
mm-hmm.
but because the dirt that is going to come out, the accumulation of dirt is going to come out during the trial process could be even more damaging and damning than we could imagine.
Absolutely. Michael Cohen, I don't know if I said to you that I was reading that. He was interviewed Daily Beast or something a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly says that what he's going to say is going to shock everybody because we haven't heard it.
That's what he said. I read that. You're right.
He says,
you're right.
The public doesn't know what I'm about to tell them, and they're going to be very surprised.
And Trump knows.
Yes.
Trump knows what he's going to say.
Yes.
This is why he's going after everybody.
Yes.
Judge daughter, mm-hmm. what have you, all that stuff. By the way, I got a text message as it relates to WAPA. This came from a senator.
Yeah.
Right? He said, WAPA got $97 million uh-huh. from ARPA funding uh-huh. after receiving $15 million from the YES,
uh-huh.
right? Which is a payment made directly from the GVI during the pandemic on behalf of the residents and commercial clients.
Right.
Right. Additionally, over the weekend, right, the governor paid another $4 million,
uh-huh.
right? And that addressed to avert some of the rotational outages, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, they claim there's $8 to $9 million allegedly owed by waste management and the hospitals.
Uh-huh.
When is enough going to be enough?
Uh-huh.
And what does the high paid CEO bring to the table? And I want to say this to you, Dwayne. One of my biggest regrets as Senate president.
I know where you're going.
was apparently we had filed a lawsuit, the government, Ingersoll over the company name.
Uh-huh.
And we got $8 million. I got a phone call from the governor, then Governor Mapp, and he said, Neville, and in the meeting is Julio Reymer,
uh-huh.
right? And he said, Neville, WAPA ain't getting paid from hospitals and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
We need to make this money available for them.
Uh-huh.
And me not playing hardball like I should have. Right? Because clearly we want our hospitals to remain open and we want them to have power.
Uh-huh.
Right? We agreed to give them the majority, if not all of the money, and that was a mistake. Right? And I could say this right now in retrospect.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because the legislature really and I gonna take the blame for it, you know. Uh-huh. We really should have said, you could get some, but you can't get nearly all. You check what I'm saying? And it was really like a setup type of thing. The problem at the time, and this was late, this was late in my term. This was like March, April of 2016,
uh-huh.
and I'd already been president for 2015. They really don't respect you, man. You know what I'm saying? And so what WAPA gonna do? WAPA gonna turn down. Let's say, you know something, I could get $5 million out of that eat. Uh-huh. So WAPA gonna say, that ain't enough.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
But what are you gonna do? Start turning off power left and right.
You know, exactly. And we were heading towards 2016. Uh-huh. And only one elected branch of government was up for a contract call that year, which was the Senate. It was not a gubernatorial election cycle. You follow what I'm saying? So they could easily say, see, well, we wanted to give the money to them, but the Senate said they wanted a portion to do this. So, you know, we were between a hard and a rock place. And it's the same situation the senators are dealing with now.
Exactly.
2024 is a non-gubernatorial mm-hmm. election cycle. And people going to want to take out the frustration.
Yes.
And the senators.
Yes,
yeah, man. And to me, that's where we need the public to be a little bit more cognizant of the political dynamics that are involved and not blame the legislature for everything. Uh-huh. And we need to address that, Dwayne, uh-huh. because it's totally unfair what's going on right now. And this WAPA issue, this is a full generation. Uh-huh. We've been undermined with LIAC for 20 years, you know, uh-huh. Dwayne. Uh-huh. 20 years, you know. When I first ran in 2004, LIAC was a big issue.
Right.
And here we are now in 2024. Right.
And then with that 30-something dollar or kilowatt.
31 cent.
31 cent.
Yeah, right. per kilowatt hour.
Kilowatt
and
hour.
We have, I'm sorry to say it, you know, Louis Sylvester called one day and he said, Neville, this WAPA experiment, it's been 60 years. It's a failure. You can't deny it. And I mean, I try not to go there because WAPA belong to me and you mm-hmm. and everybody here is right. ours. But what are we supposed to do? What conclusions are we supposed to arrive? What conclusion are we supposed to arrive at doing, given what we're dealing with on a regular basis, man?
Well, you could take a page from Director Carlton Dow. See what Viper just did. The Port Authority is turning over the day-to-day management of the airport store.
Or the
private firm.
Yeah. They might be Triple P or something.
Whatever the name is. But you see what I'm saying? That's a recognition that, look, you know, it's thing that we can't do, but it's really onerous for a government agency to and expect to do these expansions and stuff. Like mm-hmm. Puerto Rico did the same thing years ago with the airport. Mm-hmm. They just privatized part of the prepper, you know, the distribution side is Lumina. So, you know, we got to be creative and think outside the box. But let's face it, what we're dealing with now is not working.
P3. That's the thing there. I don't know about that, though. And that's a good discussion for us.
What I'm saying. You could play with it and see.
I am into sound structure, sound management, regardless of who providing it.
Uh-huh.
And we can't get away from that. And I think that's the real big issue. Dwayne, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For the in-person appearance here.
Of course.
Bush-T.
And thanks for the tea.
Yeah, man. Of course. Thank you, Marisol. We're going out.
Okay.
And we got Ellie Hirsch coming in from the Children's Museum in a little bit. We'll take a break and be back after this great, great hump day discussion here on April 17, 2024. Analyze this. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here and Lasers, and I was speaking with Dwayne Henry before he left, and I told him I left out before sound structure and sound management as it relates to what we're dealing with now with WAPA. We need sound and consistent investment and reinvestment as well, because without that, that's what it starts with. So I didn't want to leave out that part. We're going to transition now. We got some big shots just walked in the studio. The Children's Museum, they got an event coming up on Saturday, May 11th. Night at the museum, supporting the Children's Museum of St. Croix. Tickets are $125 per person, and you can purchase them at childrensmuseumstx.home.qtego.us, or you could text Kids Museum to 79230. Young ladies, introduce yourself, if you will, to the people of the Virgin Islands. All right, they told me who's going to say first. Young ladies, okay. Am I right? Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm L.A. Hirsch. I'm on the board of the Children's Museum of St. Croix, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, so. Young lady?
Good morning. I'm Kemma Loving, and I'm also on the board as the treasurer. Thanks for having us.
That's what I'm talking about. No, you want Yankee when you come through the door, you say, eh, eh. Well, no, you put a mic in front of you, know you're talking about. Thanks for having us, and I'll let Yankee twang, but it's all good. Good to see you. It's been a while. You know what I'm saying? Everything good?
Everything's all good.
Mommy, pull that microphone a little closer. So the public will hear the voice. Mommy,
yes.
Mommy good?
She's well.
Okay, that's good. Ellie, how you been?
Good, very good, thank you.
Good. Have we found a location yet, man, or are you still on the hunt?
Well, we have a potential place, and
yeah,
we're in negotiation, and we'll see if we can...
Fingers crossed?
Fingers crossed.
All fingers.
All fingers, all toes, everything. Eyes, anything can be crossed.
Well, that's good news.
So we're hoping, and so that it works out for us. We know that it will need some work, and we'll need to... It's a small house, but it's on 4.5 acres, and we want to have nature trails and things like that, so that's a nice size for that. But we know we're going to have to add more buildings, but it would be a great way to get started. So we're hoping that it all works out.
What are you talking about? Ms. Lovin, you liking that?
I love the idea.
Yeah.
I've seen the spot, and, you know, I see great potential to be fulfilled.
The 4.5 acres, that's green space for kids to move around and all that good stuff?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can have things outside for our museum that other museums in the States can't because we have...
Excellent weather.
And So, you know, we can do music outside rather than in a soundproof room, and we can do water explore things outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, I think that we want to take advantage of being outside and being able to have a greenhouse and all kinds of wonderful things.
What's the biggest need for our children nowadays here on St. Croix?
Biggest need. Ooh, wow. That's a
loaded question, but.
That's a loaded question.
You're on a loaded show.
I think the biggest need for all children is to be supported and recognized and have their be listened to, and have their talents be supported. You know, I think all children have gifts and talents, and to support those and to help them reach their potential. I think that's true for all children. And, you know, the children need interaction. Mm-hmm. I think parents get too much on their own devices. I see it a lot in grocery stores, mm-hmm. you know, where children are doing all kinds of misbehavior to get attention, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's true for all children here and everywhere.
The main word that comes up for me is involvement. You know, we don't involve our kids anymore.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Miss Loughlin, I want to know that one of my listeners just texted me. They said, "Morning." Like how you tell her about the Yankee part. So I said, "Hey, look," they said, "we just been talking about you Yankees. We're talking about me too." And so you're bringing out the Yankee in me. So I just tell them, I was born in Harlem. I got a built-in excuse, right? No, I'm just teasing, right?
You can't help where you're born. You can't choose your parents. That's something that always strikes me. You can't choose your parents, just hope that your parents
But we got to be grateful to them because...
Yes, absolutely.
The horror stories that we're hearing with children being abandoned, mm-hmm. babies being abandoned, right? That's why the Children's Museum and this initiative is so important. That's why I asked that loaded question, Ms. Loughlin, because as it stands right now, right, we grew up in a different world compared to what they're dealing with now, right? Social media, cell phone, them type of thing that we had them, so we had to max out on the fundamentals, so to speak, the basics, right? Going to a library, right? Things like that. That's one of my pet peeves here, mm-hmm. where, you know, we just got the Florence Williams Library reopened. Dang. That's a beautiful thing, right? So when I asked that question about the needs for our young people, right? The humanities and appreciation for humanities in this world of specialization. That's why it's important that we have entities like the Children's Museum to provide that outlet so that we could actually give them a chance to reach their potential.
Exactly.
Right. And we want to expose them to things maybe they haven't been exposed to in other areas, mm-hmm. and so that they can explore different things. And one of our big emphasis is that it's a two-generational approach, that parents come with their children and they interact with their children while they're experiencing mm-hmm. These new fun things and learning. And we focus on the whole child, you know, science, technology,
academic,
literacy,
emotional, social, emotional.
No, right, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. The arts, the whole child.
What about literacy, though?
Literacy, absolutely.
That's the key.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, we do put up story walks to put them off. So we give away books. I've given away over 25,000 books on St. Croix.
Ooh, that's a big number, Ellie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So we collect gently used books and give them away.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So this event, first time ever?
Second? We did one last year. It was very successful.
Very successful. It worked out.
And we're hoping that it's even more successful this year because we really want to mm-hmm. Support a new home for us.
This Mother's Day weekend, right? Mother's Day the 12th?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Right. So where's the location? St. Croix Tennis Club?
Yes.
Beeside Hill right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a casual event. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some of our exhibits for adults to experience, and so they can see the kinds of things that we do, and hopefully it'll be a relaxing, fun event for parents and those interested in supporting children.
Mm-hmm. We have an amazing DJ.
Yes.
You playing that music? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I like that. What's the best case scenario? Let's say somebody walked up and said, you know, I was listening to you and analyze this, and I'm ready to invest $1 million to this initiative. What would you all do with $1 million?
Wow, we would.
I mean, I know you buy the property and all that stuff, right?
And we would start looking at architectural plans mm-hmm. for building and for setting out the trail, the nature trail that would have pavilions.
So you incorporating a nature trail in your facility?
Yes. Oh, yes.
On your property?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
And then with some pavilions scattered around so mm-hmm. that these interest areas. We would, and then hopefully we'll be able to start constructing to make it bigger and better than what it is.
What happens when a child wants to be at the Children's Museum more than they want to be in a classroom, though. What happens at that point? I mean, we're talking about a human being.
Yeah.
And you know, they can easily fall in love with something. But we need to establish with them priorities.
Well, about when even when you think about our mission, you know, we want a creative space with ideas and activities and learning, mm-hmm. learning opportunities that are inherent in play. But, you know, the foundation of learning to learn has to be there. So we work with schools.
Yeah, we're hoping that schools will bring field trips. Mm-hmm. And make have field trips to see what we do. And a lot of those kinds of things we do because it's we have goals in mind, learning goals in mind, but it's fun, you know, and hopefully that'll impact teachers will see that there may be some ideas that they could take back to their classrooms as well. So we want to work in tandem, not in opposition.
You went over to St. Thomas to check out the museum in St. Thomas?
Yes, I've seen
that. You think you and Yoko spoke about that, right?
Yes.
How's that?
They have a spot. They have some great activities going in there, mm-hmm. and they're
and
able.
Miss Holheb and
yes.
Amber, right? Amber McKinnon.
Yeah. And we talk to each other, and we realize that both islands need to have a children's museum. People aren't gonna. It's a lot of money for a family to go over to just you know spend a day over there. But they have some good things going. And one thing about having a space that they're able to do that we haven't been able to do quite as much yet is have specialized kinds of activities and classes for kids like robotics and things like that because we don't have the space or the place. It makes it hard mm-hmm. for us to do that. So mm-hmm. we're hoping to do the kinds of things. It's interesting. They started out with a place.
Mm-hmm.
We started out as pop-up. So now they're hoping to do more outreach, and we're hoping to have a space.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so because we know we have to do both.
Mm-hmm.
We know we have to do both. We're not going to give up on all our pop-ups. We may have do less of them because we're only so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to give up our outreach. So,
how many children are you providing for now?
Well, our biggest event is Ag Fair, and we had 3,000 square feet of tent space in Ag Fair, plus mm-hmm. outside the tent.
How'd that work out?
And that was wonderful. We had over 400 children. It's hard to count because people come and go, but we can only count by the number of things that leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had more than we had 450 Play-Doh packets. Kids made Play-Doh that went.
Did you have that experience where kids, children, you know, okay, sometimes you got to be technical here.
Yes, that's all right.
People get, you know, touchy
kids,
and all that.
Children, little tykes, children, kiddos.
Yeah.
The youngins.
Pick me, right?
Yes.
Pick me, right? Or local twang. Did you have that experience where they didn't want to leave?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So a lot of parents wait till the end of the day to bring their kids because that'll be the last thing they do at Ag Fair.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of screaming kids when they're leaving. Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And some families, you know, they promise, we'll come back tomorrow. We had kids come every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had some kids come every day.
Oh, that's so awesome. So you had 3,000 square feet of area to work with at the fair.
Yeah, even more. That was just under tent, but we were under trees and, you know, we were everywhere.
Okay.
So imagine 5 acres.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So we're keeping toes and fingers crossed. That could happen.
And we do other pop-ups. This past weekend, we had two. We were at the Neurodiversity Fair in Frederiksted
mm-hmm.
for children with disabilities. And we were also at the Literary Festival. We did literacy activities for kids.
UVI.
That's awesome.
As part of the festival. They mm-hmm. do make their own books, and we have story readings and things like that.
Well, this dream started when for you?
Well, it started for me a long, long time ago with a friend who's since passed away. But then when I saw online that Winnie Oyoko Loving was interested in doing it, I jumped right on because I thought, mm-hmm. okay, now mm-hmm. I can actually do
support.
My dream
you
as
got
well.
Some support.
Yeah, there's somebody else out there who wants to do it, and mm-hmm. maybe we could all pull together and get this done. So
meeting of the minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I saw that, I just said, okay, I gotta see this person.
So, Madam DJ, you're gonna be rocking?
Yes, I am. We're not gonna be playing those adult themed music.
No.
This is kid-centered event.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the parents that are there, who are kids at heart, mm-hmm. are definitely going to enjoy themselves.
You know, we might need to designate that place as a Sinclair landmark. You know, that the Sinclair Tennis Club, given how it's survived for so long. We've had other locations that. Like, for instance, we had, I don't know if you know about this, but where Vitima used to be, mm-hmm. or I think Vitima is right now, up in Mount Royal, that used to be the real big tennis club on St. Greg, Cuesta Verde, up on the Cuesta Verde area, Mount Royal, right? Yes. That got converted to hold a lot of different things, and our tennis club right there in Beeston Hill still holding its own, and it's a nice reception area. Mm-hmm. It's a real good location, so I'm glad to see that's... where I was selected to have this event. So it starts when? What time? 6 to 10?
Yes.
Right, on Saturday, May 11th?
We'll have an auction. We'll do an auction.
Doing an auction as well? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. We got to make our money. So
Of course, man. You excited about this?
Yeah.
Time to fly, you know.
We're working hard.
It might seem like 3.5 weeks ago, but before you know it, it's gonna be tomorrow.
I know. You're telling me.
Let's go talk about the library and the importance of our Florence Williams Library reopening and other libraries territory-wide. That's my personal thing. I'm big on that.
I think that's really important. And actually, we're hoping to partner some with the libraries mm-hmm. because and maybe just pop up there as well. Mm-hmm. And some of our board members have been called upon to come and do some story reading.
Wallace, you communicate with Wallace? Wallace Williams?
I mean, I know Wallace.
Yeah, we know
Wallace.
I know Wallace.
I've known him from long ago.
Yeah. He reaches out to me here on the show.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. But I'm glad that the library is now functional.
Mm-hmm.
And now
it's
operational.
And it's beautiful.
It is.
Absolutely
it is.
Beautiful.
It is.
Back in the day, the library had so many after school.
Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh.
That's where the parent pickup was.
Yes.
Mommy,
I got a library. So she know where to find me at 5:15, 5:30 if I ain't catching that right home, you know what I'm saying? And, but it's about a discipline thing though, Ellie. The library, right? You're actually forced at a young age, right, to learn how to restrain yourself from being, you know, loud for the lack of a better term, and respecting people.
Right.
You know, so that's a
well,
good
different
setting.
Environments require different exactly. skills and different behaviors.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. So we got the big shots here from the Children's Museum of St. Croix, which was once an idea and is starting to come to fruition. Things are starting to fall in place. They got an event coming up on Saturday, May 11th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the St. Croix Tennis Club. That's right there in Beeston Hill. Mm-hmm. When you're heading west after the Beeston Hill exercise, right,
mm-hmm.
area?
Yeah.
It's on the left-hand
that's side right,
before
yes.
you hang a left to head down into Anna's Hope. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Don't tell me we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
he said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Listen to the latest news stories that matter with Marcelina Ventura Douglas. Weekdays at 5 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here to analyze this. It's a beautiful Wednesday in Paradise, and we got the good people from the Children's Museum. Young ladies, introduce yourself.
Kim Loving.
And Ellie Hirsch.
That's what I'm talking about. So, we're looking at an article. Come on. Mami. It was in the St. Thomas Source. It was a 2019 article. Mom's originally from Boston?
Yes.
Beantown, huh? And you're down here now in Paradise.
Since 1972.
Yeah, man, I got a nice article here on the Source. And Mommy's a poet, in addition to being an educator. You taught as well, right? You taught here?
Yeah, well, I actually came as an administrator for education.
Yeah.
So I came in
1980. And what took you so long, man? Well, I'm glad that you're here with us, and you can't leave. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's just the rules.
The magnet,
I can't think of anywhere else to go, you know?
That's the type of thing we want to hear on this show, you know what I'm saying? The magnetism of the Virgin Islands, yes. In this case.
It's been good to me.
Island of St. Croix. So that's why I wanted to use that as a segue. Our culture is so rich, Ms. Hirsch, and you talk about the nature aspect, right? What can we do as a people to allow for an appreciation of greater value for our culture here in the Virgin Islands. You grew up where?
In Baltimore.
You grew up in Baltimore. And Baltimore is a city rich with history as well. As a matter of fact, the public may not know this, but a lot of decisions with our founding fathers early on took place in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Port City, you know, just had that unfortunate situation with the bridge.
Very horrible,
and all that. But Baltimore is very, very valuable. And we've had a lot of Virgin Islanders who were educated in Baltimore, went to Morgan State, mm-hmm. Towson State, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, all that stuff, right?
And people still go to think of Johns Hopkins.
Without a doubt. That's a good, thank you very much. Yeah. Big up to Johns Hopkins as well. We got value here in the Virgin Islands as well that we don't appreciate as much. And someone who is promoting a museum, which is about culture, mm-hmm. and preserving who you are, where you've been, what you're about. Mm-hmm. Talk about why it's so important for a children's museum to actually exist, not just on St. Croix, but in every municipality and location.
Well, there's lots of reasons.
Conceptually,
There's lots of reasons. And talking about culture, I think children get more of an appreciation when they have more exposure to the history and the culture, and they know what came before, and they know what their ancestors did to preserve and to create a world for the, for them for today.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about nature, the more children are in nature, the more I think they appreciate it. I think children have gotten more and more away from it because we don't let them play outside like we used to. You know, I hear stories about how people, where you just had to be in by the time the lights came on the streets by the time before it got dark. And that's the way I grew up, too. So mm-hmm. I was out there all the time, there was a little wooded area down at the end of my road, So I think that appreciation happens when you're exposed.
Yeah.
And so your other question had to do with, what should a museum be? And I think it should we recognize that we need to have rotating exhibits so it can be a lot of things, and it can expose children to nature, to the arts, to scientific concepts, and to literacy, as we mentioned. So it can be many things rolled into one. Children don't necessarily learn one thing at a time. Things are integrated. A child is, mm-hmm. is building with Legos. They're learning math skills.
Yeah, man.
Because one of the little ones, you take two of those to make the big one. So that's algebra. They mm-hmm. don't realize they're learning algebra.
Yeah.
They're learning algebra.
Yeah, it is.
And they're learning engineering skills. They're learning how to balance things off so it doesn't tip over. They're learning how to adjust it so that it balances, and that's all engineering. They're learning communication skills because they're working with others. They're sharing materials, and they have to negotiate. Oh, I'd really need that pink one, And I'll give you the orange one, So they really learn social skills too while they're playing. I'll give you an example. I went to a museum with my grandchildren. My daughter just had a baby, so that's why I just came from helping out. But the older one, the 3-year-old, was trying to use Legos to make her name. You can do all kinds of things just with that one thing. Children are learning all that mm-hmm. at one time. They're not necessarily as compartmentalized as they are in school, where now it's time for science, now it's time for history.
Mm-hmm.
No, it happens sort of all together.
Kimmel, your take on that, and us being an American territory in the Caribbean, which kind of like mandates that. Mentally, you're processing different ways of doing things, ways of life, and all that stuff at the same time.
Well,
right into that mic. Bring the mic down.
Well, we escape to St. Croix. St. Croix is considered an escape.
Yeah.
But.
Well, for us, it's not. It's his home.
It is home.
Mm-hmm.
It is home. Even when we've come here back in the 70s. And made it home.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should feel that it's home. We have 7 flags.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
it's 8. No. I push in the 8. The time, before.
Yeah.
Before the 7. Okay. What I'm saying? And mm-hmm. So, if you're going forward, let them know it's actually 8.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And
7 documented, but 8 in reality.
Children want to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
Culturally, we have parades. We have festivals. The children want to see that they're important,
and they want to be a part of it.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. So you can't.
You can't isolate or exclude. Everybody needs to be welcome.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, what the government saying? Who you been talking to in the government? Government got to play a part in this. They can't do everything. We don't want them to do everything, but they got to do it.
We're hoping for support. Actually, this year, we're thankful to the legislature. They have put some money in the budget for us.
The miscellaneous section of the budget? That's good. Thank you very much to the first branch.
Thank you very much. Yes.
I appreciate that.
And the governor is very interested in seeing what he can do to support us.
I believe that because he is big on junior achievement.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that he was dealing with even before he was the governor. So so I know that for a fact. But everybody got to pitch in.
Yeah, it's got to be a community thing.
Definitely.
And one of the things I think our pop-ups have done is we've been out in the community, in different parts of the community. We've popped up in Machu Chao, we've popped up in Frederickstead, we've popped up, all over the place. And I think that people are realizing, wow, we really need to have this. And by doing that, I think it's garnered some community support for them to see, what is this? You know, at first some people would say to me, well, is the Children's Museum just going to display children's art? And I said, no, that's not what a children's museum is. A children's museum is a hands-on, experiential,
interactive
place for children to learn and have fun. And
I read her in activities, math, virtues, science, technology, literacy, engineering, art. I got everything covered, but virtues really stands out. Because under every activity, you have a little definition there. And with virtues, practice sharing, cooperation, patience, and gratitude. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are invaluable intangibles.
Yeah.
Right? You learn math and you learn science and technology and engineering and arts and all that stuff, but you take virtues with you.
To all those.
Yeah. You know,
but you build them. You know, we all have certain strengths within us, but we also have areas of growth where we could grow more. And mm-hmm. so we tried to incorporate some of that. We had near Thanksgiving, our whole theme of the pop up was an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, at Christmas spoken here, we had an area, you know, about, you know, how to give kindness. And kids put up little post-it notes about what they can do to show kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to incorporate that aspect of into what we do.
Mm. Ms. Lovin, how do we get parents to want to be a part of it and not just find locations where I can drop off the children and...
We're not going to be a drop-off. They have to be with their children.
That's why I can't believe.
Yeah, that's one.
We're not
thing.
A babysitter.
Yeah.
We don't have babysitting services.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage the parents to stay. Another, you know, because I noticed.
But over time, I think parents would earn that occasion where. You have an event and they might not be able to be there and the child can go.
Well, it depends. A specialized event,
yeah.
Like if we had a robotics class or we had a special art class,
yeah.
And then that would be a drop-off. Otherwise, a parent would need to be there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Otherwise, they need to be there.
So there are exceptions but in principle, it's about parent and child
engaging.
Playing a part.
Yeah. I can tell you about an experience we had. We had a grant from the Community Foundation of the Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful opportunity for us. And we did what we called Countdown to Kindergarten. And we had 20 Saturdays where an adult had to accompany their child who was going to be going to kindergarten in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
not knocking your structure because it's good to know up front, right? What y'all are about.
Right.
It isn't a babysitting service, like you said. You know
what I'm saying? One of the feedback that we got from the families, from the parents or the grandparents who came, was that, you know, the teacher in Head Start sent home all these things for my child to do, particularly during COVID. She said, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've had this experience, it gives me chills to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've had this experience, I know how to teach my child. I know how to do it because they see, we had them participate in all the activities with their child. And I think that children don't come with a instruction book necessarily, you know? And I think for some parents who may have had difficulty parenting from their parents or may not have had as involved parents from their parents, they don't necessarily know how to do it for their children.
Yeah.
And so
we're not knocking them, we're just talking about the reality of life.
Yeah. You know, people are working.
Yeah.
People that have lots of stressors. People have more than one job. We got, you know, there's lots of stressors out there. But we want to help to build that relationship and that bonding between parent and child.
That's what we're looking for. Go ahead,
Kima. If children can thrive on involvement, so can we as parents.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So.
We had a lot of positive feedback from that, from having parents or grandparents be there.
No, I like that. That is actually a condition for being at the Children's Museum. You know what I'm saying? Just, don't believe that, you know, we there for you to just you know what I mean? Provide a ease for you. We want you to be a part of it.
And one of the things that happens when parents are part of it, they see their children being successful. They see their children's abilities.
It can make them a better parent.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Saturday, May 11th, from 6 to 10 p.m., night at the museum, supporting the Children's Museum of St. Croix. Tickets are $125 per person. And you can purchase tickets at childrensmuseumstx.home. QTEGO. Never seen that one before.
That's our online support for our fundraiser.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I like to do research, so I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, okay.
.us or text Kids Museum to 79230. Location is the St. Croix Tennis Club. Casual attire, for those of you who don't know, it's on Center Line Road, Beeston Hill area, right? When you're heading west, after you pass the Beeston Hill Fitness Center, you got a pasture right across from the Beeston Hill Fitness Center. Drive down a little bit more. It's on the left-hand side right before you're making that corner.
Is that still the Beeston Hill Clinic?
Across from the clinic.
But the clinic, correct.
Across from the doctor's office.
You used to got a swimming team up in there, right?
Up in the Beeston Hill.
Yeah. Because we had the Dolphins over here at the Marlins, I think it was,
right?
Out there as well. The brain still functioning a little bit, you know what I mean? So we're good. Ellie Hirsch, Kim, I love you. Thank you very much for joining us this morning and gracing us here. And thank you for what you're doing with respect to our children and putting in place necessary infrastructure, right, to allow for us to continue to evolve as a people here on the Big Island of St. Croix. And I want to give a shout out to the museum people, the museum folks on St. Thomas as well.
Yes.
So we'll help them as well because it's a Virgin Islands thing.
Go
right?
Chantel.
Chantel's I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? And all the work that they do there as well.
Yeah.
I want to thank
Dwayne
Henry.
Good.
And don't forget, you can reach out to contact the Children's Museum in general. You can email them at info@childrensmuseumstx.org. Or you can mail them at P.O. Box 26284 Christiansted. That's 00824. You got a phone number?
They can call me directly.
Yeah, go ahead.
If they want 340-643-0707.
Young lady, you want to give up your number or you're still holding on to it? I know you.
I know. People call me all the time and it's okay.
643-0777?
0707.
0707. Okay. Single 07. I like that. Be good and be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, but it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.